Luke 1. Again, just to keep it in context, in verse 68, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people, and hath raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as we spake by the mouths of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began. We've studied spake and mouth and holy a bunch of times, but prophets, it's prophatos. And the way it was used in common Greek is that it was an interpreter, the one that interpreted the oracle of Delphi and other oracles, and one who interpreted hidden things. And so this idea of a prophet in our, when it's translated as it is, it came to mean somebody that foretells the future. That's not what it means in the Bible. It means one who speaks forth openly. That's its literal translation. And it means it's whether it's exhortation, or in the case of the Old Testament prophets, it was predictions of Messiah. But it really just means this bubbling forth. In the Old Testament, the word is nasa or something like that, and and this is a really important word in our understanding of the mystery, because it just means it's the word that's used to describe the fermentation of wine and the bubbling forth. And it's a perfect, really, word for what the New Testament prophet is. It's the meaning of, remember, each of us in that type are grape. And the purpose of the grape, in order to produce the wine, is to become essentially rotten and ferment in the wine vat. And then, as we've talked about many times, then for the wine to be used in the temple, it had to go through 7 separate stages. And in each stage, 2 things happened. As the wine fermented and bubbled forth, and all kinds of crap came to the surface, but at the same time, all kinds of crap came to the bottom. And so they very carefully, before it was put into the next vat, they'd scrape off all of the dregs, the waste material at the top, but then they'd carefully pour it into the next vat so that none of the dregs at the bottom of that vat would go into the second vat. And that was repeated 6 times until the 7th time it was then suitable for use in the temple. And this is a perfect picture of the bride as a type of the wine. I mean, the wine is a type of the bride. And that's what has to happen in us. This is why your idea of sitting in the temple of God, you're showing yourself that you're God, because you have all these things bubbling up in you. But for whatever reason, because you want to be right, or because you don't want to embarrass yourself, or because you've heard it before, blah, 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 you just keep it suppressed. And that being suppressed like that in the Old Testament is called leprosy. And the worst leprosy is the spot on your forehead. And that defined, the spot on your forehead defined how you thought. And so if you had the spot on your forehead, you couldn't even be with other lepers. You had to be totally alone. So again, it's this bubbling forth. Always, 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 never stopping.
That's like bringing forth fruit necessary for repentance. And the repentance is very simple. We just break it away.
But there's no better metaphor for what God expects of us. But no, we don't do that. We sit silently in judgment, either of ourselves or the speaker, don't we? Does everybody understand this?
Well, one conflict about prophecy, because in the old times, if you get the prophesy and you're wrong, then you get stoned.
Well, that was the prophecy regarding the prediction of the future. But that's only a small part of the meaning of prophet.
Yeah. I mean, there has to be a good distinction, because I think a lot of people are thinking, well, if I'm going to say something, better be right. So you put it through all your filters of your own rightness.
Right. Well, it's got you. You are sitting in the house of God, showing yourself that you're God.
Right.
Instead of bubbling forth, you have all these really good reasons not to speak.
Yeah, you don't want to be a fool.
And it becomes, it's not, it has nothing to do with right or wrong. It has to do with what sanctification really means. You know, if any man speak, that'll be judged, whether by two or three witnesses, whether it's right. It doesn't matter whether it's right or wrong to you. You just speak it. Because otherwise, you'll either sit in judgment of others, which is really bad for a leprous grape to sit in judgment of another grape. This is critical. All your life, you've sat in judgment. So did I. Judge for yourself whether it was time, or whether you should say this, or whether you should say that, or how you could do it, or how you should word it, all the other crap. Somehow, that's got to break through. What? Everybody's now thinking, you must be thinking something. Let's have it.
Thinking about the seven leaves scraping crap. Reminds me of talking about the elf in the clogging of the dam and letting breaking the dam.
Amen.
Letting the dam out.
It's the same principle. If you deny me before men, and that doesn't mean saying it doesn't exist. It means you've dammed it up so that your mind is still in control.
Yeah, see, that's tricky, because the me you define and think that if you don't remember, you're dead, and that whatever's there is to be given, because you're judging it as whether it's good or bad or whether it'll hurt you. Not knowing that, you know, it's God can use anything to.
Well, let's show you an example of where the word prophet is used. We'll go to a bunch of them, but right now let's go to Titus. Titus, chapter 1.
I was hit there for a moment with the enormity of the problem. And, you know, you spend your whole life creating who you are, and then what you just said is said, and without God's help, you're just stuck with yourself.
And how's that worked out for you?
Yeah, well, it didn't work out at all. Just drunken. But the weight of it just hit me that without God's power, how do you overcome everything you make yourself?
Well, it's God's power is manifest. It's you have to overcome fear. So really, being silent is cowardice. And especially you know, well, I couldn't say that because Ole would yell at me, blah, blah, blah.
I don't want that.
Well, it's just crazy.
And that's what we have to learn from, is fear.
Now, it doesn't mean you're going to get kudos if you just open your mouth and blab. But what if it's already there and God knows it? You're not your own anyway. So why do you sit in judgment as if that you and your thoughts and your mind were your own? All right. Chapter 1, let's start in verse 8. Be a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men, sober, just, holy, temperate. Holding fast. You know what? By the way, let's talk about temperate. What does temperate mean? What does temperate mean to you? In our culture, temperate means that...
It kind of means really little things.
Huh?
It kind of means the opposite of what we're talking about in our culture.
Yeah, temperate means, in the Greek, temperate means that you're not under the control of anything. So you're not under the control of your mind, you're not under the control of alcohol, you're not under the control of drugs, you're not under the control of lust, you're temperate. That's a gift of the Spirit. So, anyway, just, holy, temperate, holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, that he may be able to, by sound doctrine, both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. For there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision, whose mouth must be stopped, who subvert whole churches, teaching things which they ought not for filthy lucre's sake. One of themselves, even a prophet of their own, said, the Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, slow bellies, and this witness is true. Now this was a poet named Epimenides, that was a he was a Jewish convert, because everything in the Jewish religion was you can only talk when you're, you know, what's going on?
I was going to turn that off.
It's free.
Okay.
75.
Anyway, everything had was careful, and you know, you had to say the right thing, otherwise you'd have to bring a goat and go sacrifice for a sin offering.
No conflict.
So it was because it was all a type, but they thought it was the reality. Anyway, let's start. Let's start in Genesis 3. Remember, he's saying that he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began. So we're going to talk about that. Genesis 3. Nobody has any response to that little rant about what... about grapes and bubbling and...
Isn't it a big deal to be a prophet?
No.
It's not?
No.
Okay.
It was a big deal for in terms of the first prophet. I mean, there hadn't been the Holy Spirit hadn't been shed on flesh for 400 years. And then what happened? Then we have the beginnings of the prophets. The prophet being spread abroad. We had Zechariah and Elizabeth and were filled with the Holy Ghost. And then and then of course John the Baptist and obviously Christ. And it goes on and on and on.
So wait a minute, it's not a big deal to be a prophet, but there wasn't one for 400 years?
No, I said they haven't. No, that's not what I said.
Oh.
I said that the Holy Spirit hadn't been shed on flesh for 400 years.
Okay.
But big difference between prophet and prophecy.
All right, let's go. But yeah, let's go to Galatians. No, I mean Ephesians before we go to Genesis.
Ephesians.
Chapter 4. Verse 4. There is one body and one spirit, even as you were called in the hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended far up above all heavens, that he might fulfill all things. And he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Now, the definition of an apostle in the New Testament, in a practical matter, is the one who went out and fell into the ground and died. Because he believes, he speaks, and so therefore he's a prophet. Because he speaks, some will hear, so there he's an evangelist. And then because some heard, then there's a responsibility for being the pastor teacher. And so that it should be the commonplace. If you go through the New Testament, look how many people are called prophets.
A lot.
But the whole mystery of it, all are called to prophesy. Above all things, my brethren, I would that you prophesy.
Are those different words, prophet,
no.
Prophesy?
Well, they're different types.
Different congregations or something. Same source.
Same source. You can't just be an apostle, because the apostle is one that
believes.
No, he's the one that falls into the ground and dies, and then some hear, and some then he speaks because he believes. You can only speak because you believe. You can't go to learn seminary to learn how to be a preacher. Some fall into the ground and die. Because he believes, then he will speak. More than likely, he won't want to speak. And because he speaks, some will hear. So he's an evangelist. It's not defining titles, it's defining what happens. It's what is. But we've got in our culture, we have to elevate people. And so we got saints. John, any of these guys, Paul would go crazy to think that he was called a saint above any other believer. Did you understand it? You don't agree with it, John.
I didn't say that.
No, but I saw it in your countenance.
Well, I'm thinking. I mean, I am what I am. You can call me whatever you want.
What are you?
I'm not sure if I have. I don't know. It's not important for me to find myself.
Well, but what is important is that you always give what's there.
Well, that's the part that I don't say struggling with, but it's my view of a prophet was someone who was
you know, that's not passed out literally. That's an important figure, God inspired person to speak to us and to have everyone be a prophet. I understand that point. We can at particular points in time, I suppose. But I'd rather not think of everyone as a prophet, because I'd rather, if I know there is a prophet, that's stunning to me. That's someone who I want to gravitate to and absorb. On the other hand, I see that in everybody all the time.
Right.
I don't know.
I know, but hear me. What you've just described was an idol. The idol of someone that you would gravitate to.
Well, I'll gravitate to him until I probably don't like what he's saying, and then I'll gravitate away from him.
Well, again, who's in control? You there's got to be a point in which that loses its meaning.
Well, don't. Okay. All right. I mean, okay. I don't agree with that necessarily. I mean, I'm not going. If I'm gravitating towards a person for my pleasure or for my needs, yeah. Well, not even needs. I mean, that's different. That's an earthy thing. But if I'm gravitating towards him because there's revelation coming from him, if I'm seeing or hearing God in him, that's a different thing.
You think then that I'm a prophet?
No.
What am I?
I don't know whether you're a prophet. Wait a minute.
Well, I'm just saying.
It I think it has to do with. It might be my deal. You know, that's where I came from. Prophets were special people.
Right.
And we're all special at some point in time. So I guess we all are prophets. I mean, I'm contradicting myself. I realize that. But I hold my vision of a prophet, or my understanding of a prophet, is a little bit different than most of us, you know?
Yeah, but that's not true.
Well, that's what you're telling me, and that's what I'm trying to...
What about the prophesied part? Are we should all should prophesy. How does that...
Well, I think that's fine, but I don't want to get started because.
Well,
know,
it is.
I
it is. It, no, no, it is important, John, because this isn't just
well,
your questions
idea,
are questions other people
my
have.
My idea, Gary, of prophecy is actions more than it is words. I'd rather see prophecy in what people do rather than in what they say, because in my experience, I've seen a whole lot of people say it and not do it. So that's my answer to that.
That's not the meaning of prophecy. The meaning of prophecy is bubbling forth. Have you ever seen wine fermented?
I know. I know what wine fermenting. I know how that works. And I understand your point. I truly do. But I can't quite get in that bubbling stuff the way you are there. Pull me. Take me. Convince me or something. I don't know. I'm not there.
No, I understand that, because you still are thinking in terms of if I have something to say, it's just the same old thing. Or if I have something to say, I have to wait until I'm right. But it is, John.
So this is a huge point, because it's like the
honeys and John's not.
It's not. We're not talking just about you.
Yeah, the church, the health of the church rests on this issue of whether or not the members will give or think and judge and sit back. I wish that all would prophesy. That's where we're at in this body of believers, I believe. Is if there's no prophesy, no speaking forth, we're just stumbling along, crawling.
Well, you remember it happened 100 times over the years, especially with your son-in-law. He'd come home, he'd want to talk to me, and he said, "I'm just bored." And I'd say to him, "There's only one way that you can be bored, and that's you're not saying what's there. I guarantee you, if you say what's there, you will never be bored.
You get beat up, you get made fun of, a whole lot of things, but probably bored."
Right. Now, boredom, to me, is the worst. I can't I mean, boredom is it's death to me. It's what got me in trouble my whole life. I couldn't stand boredom, and that's what led me. God used that to bring me to a place where I could hear and where I could have a willingness to even consider the possibility that there was a God. But I promise you, if you don't say what's there, you will end up being bored. Without question. Now, some of them say, well, you can say what's there to certain people. Well, that's robbing the body. Because the issue that's going on with you, whatever it is, has nothing to do with you because you're dead. That's something that is gelling in you that is to be given to the body. I'm a reasonably bright guy in the natural. I mean, I have a reasonably good mind. But if I didn't always say what's there, I couldn't do what I do. If I tried to think about what I'm going to say next ever, I would just, you might as well shoot me.
And if we don't speak up and we don't agree with you...
Well, you've got to speak
then
up.
Then we are automatons.
Yeah.
We are nothing.
And you'll eventually leave.
Yeah, you'll leave in your mind at least.
Yeah. You've already quit in your mind.
Blame it on you.
Right, and blame it on me. Oh, I can't talk because... Only will blah, 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 because only, in Ronnie's words, don't give me that look. You don't remember that conversation we had? And I was looking at you and you said, don't give me that look.
Wait, I have never spoken.
You certainly had. Anyway.
I tend to... agree partly with what John said at the start about prophets being somehow special in the, like in the Old Testament. I think that they started out, I think that changed.
Oh, they were massively important in the Old Testament because they were the type.
Right, but I think that changed with Christ and with the fact that Christ is in us.
All right, let's go to Colossians.
Colossians?
I think, no. 1 Corinthians 4. I think. Verse 16. Know you not that you are the temple of God? 1 Corinthians 3, 16. Know you not that you are the temple of God? Now what that means is, it's bigger than any of us can even imagine. And I think that everyone here can have a sense of what that means. You are the temple of God. And remember, it's that word, that it's anos, which doesn't mean just the whole big temple. It just means the part where the two that were closed in, the holy place and the holy of holies. You are the temple of God. You couldn't get any bigger than that. And all your life, you've had a manner of living and a manner of speaking. And you've learned all these different value systems and issues and how to do stuff. And all of it is wrong. There's nothing that you've ever learned that was right. Because God had in you, that's, you are made in the image of God. That means you were there to be in his image. But there's been a usurper in that temple. And it's called, and that usurper is you. And we've called that usurper the Antichrist, the son of perdition, etc., etc. And that is all of you, your thoughts, your emotions, your mind. Now you can't know that until you've pushed your mind as far as it'll go in all areas. But don't keep some part of it because you think it's good. Don't keep some opinion because you think it has value. Don't keep some... So you are the temple of the living God. And the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. Now, what does it mean to defile the temple of God? Anybody want to know?
Put yourself in. I think it's what we've been talking about.
That's right.
Holding back, believing you've got your thoughts, judging.
Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool, that he may be wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God, for it is written, He taketh the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. Therefore let no man glory in men, whether that man is called a prophet, whether that man is called president, whether that man is called a man with really good ideas who I like,
who I agree with,
let no man glory in men, for all things are yours. Whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or things present or things to come, all are yours, and you are Christ's, and Christ is God's. Now go to 1 Peter. Now it's talking about you as an individual. Now it's talking about us. Chapter 2. We'll go in chapter 1 and verse 24. 23. Being born again, or born from above. Again shouldn't be there. It's born anew, or born from above, or born from the first estate. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word, or there its rhema of the Lord, endureth forever. And this is the word, logos, which by the gospel is preached unto you. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and all hypocrisies and envyings and evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby, if so be you have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of all men, but chosen of God and precious, you also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture, Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious. He that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious. But to them he is be disobedient. The stone which the builders rejected, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But you are a chosen generation, the generation of Messiah, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. And you remember what the word peculiar there is?
It's a feminine form of the verb I am.
Right. It's the feminine of the verb I am. We are a I am people. You have no other modifiers. You can't be I am a prophet. You can't be I am a this or I am a that. You are the I am people. Now, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which not time past were not a people, but now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Every what the Bible calls sanctification is really this process of unlearning and unchanneling or undamming everything that's in you, because out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. Life-giving water is what that says. But each, no matter how small it is, each opinion, each idea that you have becomes, either it interrupts the flow or it totally dams the flow. There's no... What?
Go ahead. Go ahead. Finish your thought. I'll wait.
That's fine. Go ahead.
No, I was just thinking. in order for me to, to understand this process, is that, it has to be step by step by step. Some of our previous affiliations with our organization, that, if things are not in a orderly, structurally kind of type of deal for me, then it's like I can't follow it.
Let's look at that.
That's a great point, Ryan. That's a great point. And if I can, you asked me earlier, do I think you were a prophet? And I very quickly said no. And whether it's you or whoever said it. As soon as you say that, you've eliminated yourself from never being a prophet.
Of course.
The result of being a prophet is like after the fact. It's when the vision is one of being an instrument rather than being the leader of it, being responsible for it.
Well, it would never even enter your mind.
It can't. As soon as it does, it's polluted and it's gone, and it can't happen. Prophet or whatever it is. You watch religious television, these guys get themselves all kinds of names and titles. And it's
bishop.
Whatever.
Prophet and apostle.
Well, for their own self.
Right.
It can't be that way. And that's why I have a little bit of a problem when I think of all of us being prophets, because we're motivated. And motivation, just an inkling of it, just a mite of it, it's gone.
I want you to imagine something, okay? I come to you, to the body, and say, I want to start the Ole Anthony Evangelistic Association. What would happen?
What would happen? I'd probably pack.
You'd laugh me out of the room. Why? Don't I have just as much a right as Billy Graham or Oral Roberts or?
Well, if you want to go be Billy Graham, I'll go be Billy Graham.
I don't. I'm just saying. My point to you
is understand your point. It's a good one, sure.
That there is no one that's taking the name of the Lord in vain. To call yourself a prophet is taking the name of the Lord in vain. To call yourself even a Christian is taking the name of the Lord in vain. We are simply people of the way. And it's, but I, again, I promise you, that which is necessary for this to transpire is this, what we've talked about, the bubbling of the wine. Let it come forth. Now, one more thing and we'll quit. Go to Isaiah 28. This is about the pride of Ephraim, or the wine of Ephraim, which is self-seeking. So start in verse 8. For all tables are full of vomit and filthiness, so that there is no place clean. That's a huge statement. The table is where you eat, where you get your sustenance and satisfaction. Now listen to what he said. That's the predicate. Now listen to what he says. Then whom shall he teach knowledge? And whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breasts. For precept, this is what you've just been talking about, Ronnie. For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little. That's the way all men's minds have always worked and always will. That's every one of us thinks, and at a core, if we in our mind, that there is spiritual evolution.
Everything lines up, and I'm fully satisfied in my mind.
Right,
and
the reason is that our minds, especially with the English language, everything we learn is linear. That's how we learn, line upon line, precept upon precept. You learn the alphabet by repeating it over and over and over again. You learn math by first starting out with addition, and then subtraction, then multiplication, then division, and then on and on and on. But you learned it line upon line, precept upon precept. And so you bring this to the table when it comes to God stuff. But God is saying, no, all tables are full of vomit so that there is no place clean. And then he shows you, he said, for precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little, there a little. Now he said, for with mocking lips and another tongue will I speak to this people. To whom he said, this is the rest wherewith you may cause the weary to rest. This is the refreshing. Yet they would not hear. But the word of the Lord was unto them, precept upon precept. You understand what that means? Idea upon idea. Little bit here, and then upon a precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little, that they might go and fall backward and be broken and snared and taken. So all of the processy things that your mind wants you to do, no matter what your experience has been, all the ideas of process, i.e. time, you will go forward and do ba-ba, dee-dee-dee, 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 and that's just, you will end up in mass confusion until you go forward and fall backward in repentance and are broken and snared and taken. Amen?
Amen.
It's a biggie. Your mind is never going to understand this. And if you again, you have understand. Hear me. Your mind is cursed. All it can do is process towards self-realization. So you got to line upon line. I got to do it. I got to. This is what I have to do. This is what I have to do in order to get this. Until you go forward and fall backward, and our totally fall backward is the ultimate repentance. And fall backward as dead and are broken and snared and taken. But you try to add this onto your previous understanding of life or religion or anything else, and it'll always be line upon line, here a little, there a little. Amen? Do you see how it relates to everything we've been talking about? If your way of thinking has worked for you thus far, you wouldn't be here. Take it, big guy. Everybody.